Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Dr. Henry Lodge, Columbia University Associate Professor of Medicine and co-author with Chris Crowley of Younger Next Year and Younger Next Year for Women, calls the books why-to books as compared to how-to books. Dr. Lodge is with us today to talk about the books and why they apply to everyone and why they're why books and not how-to books. Welcome, Dr. Lodge.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Thanks for joining us for our winter membership drive.
It certainly is winter.
It is certainly winter. What's it like where you are?
It's very wintry in New York.
It's very wintry here, too, unusually so. I happen to like it, but a lot of people don't. I just want to remind everybody that it is the winter membership drive. If you've forgotten what time of the year it is, you will not forget, though, that it is a membership drive. We have to do this. We have to do it several times a year to do what we do for you every day, which is bring you the best programming we possibly can. Your support, our listener support, is the foundation of our budget, however. You have to make your pledge of support right now at WOSU.org or call us at 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Our goal this hour, $3,000. We can meet it with your help. We always meet all of our goals with your help, but the sooner the better. It gets a little nerve-wracking. With your pledge of support at the $100 level, our thank you gift to you will be the book Younger Next Year by Dr. Henry Lodge and Chris Crowley, or you can pick up Younger Next Year for Women, also at the $100 level. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. 1-866-897-9678. I know we're going to have a great time talking with Dr. Lodge, so if you give us that call or go online to WOSU.org right away, you can just sit back and listen and relax and feel good about yourself. Dr. Lodge, what is the difference between a why-to and a how-to book?
Well, if you look at all the books out there about aging, diet, nutrition, exercise, et cetera, they're all very prescriptive. They tell you exactly what to do, but there's actually not a whole lot of explanation about why. And the reason that's important is that over the last 10 years, our understanding of the biology of aging has flipped around 180 degrees. And so there's an extraordinary new, really revolution in the science of aging. And the bottom line is that the large majority of American aging is optional. And that's both the physical aging and, surprisingly enough, mental aging. The cognitive decline that we associate with getting older turns out to be largely optional as well. And so it struck us that what was going to be more powerful was to explain to you why you are in charge of the way you age in extraordinarily powerful ways all the way through, and then tell you a little bit about what to do. And that's really why we structured it that way.
You and Chris Crowley are quite a pair. How did you two meet? Because it was completely by accident. It wasn't like your paths crossed otherwise.
Yeah, no, Chris came in to see me as a patient when he turned 65.
Okay.
And Chris's story is that he'd been a corporate lawyer and worked long hours and not taking very good care of himself. He came in to see me on the verge of retirement, and he was, 40, 50 pounds overweight, and he had high blood pressure and high cholesterol, all the things that you associate with that. and as we talked about this, he really jumped in with both feet at the idea of going down the if aging is optional, what can I do about it front, and did everything we talk about in the book to turn his life around, with the result that a few years later at 70, he was formally tested. He had the aerobic capacity of a very healthy 40-year-old. He had the joint health and the strength of a very healthy 35-year-old. And today at 75, Chris bikes 100 miles. He skis all day. He's deeply active in his community. He's got a very rich, full life, and he's feeling younger at 75 than he did at 55.
So it could be like 75 is the new 55 if you play your cards right, if you take care of yourself.
Yeah, you can knock 20 or 30 years off your chronological age in terms of the quality of your life if you're willing to invest in the process. Now, the sneaky little secret is that you're going to die at about the same time. So it's not really a longevity issue. It's a quality of life issue. But Americans have achieved this stunning longevity anyway. So the vast majority of Americans now outlive the quality of their life by a good solid two decades.
Wow. That means that they get old before their time.
Well, it means that the old mantra is, I'm going to get old and die.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of kind of backhanded comfort in that, and that when you get old, you get to die. And it's no and the misery doesn't stack up. And in fact, what happens is that Americans now get old and live as functionally old people for a decade or two. And in general, those are turning out to be fairly miserable decades. What's happening in parallel, however, is that a chunk of Americans have realized that there is a very different way of doing it. They're investing in this, and they are living phenomenally successful, optimistic, energetic lives until they're deep in their 80s, and in some cases their 90s. And it turns out that the biology for that is locked inside of all of us. And absent some bad luck, everybody out there has a shot at living a really high-quality life all the way through.
This is listener-supported WOSU 820 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining us for this hour, Dr. Henry Lodge. He's the co-author of Younger Next Year and Younger Next Year for Women. Our thank you gifts to you for this hour of the Winter Membership Drive. Call 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $100. You can make a pledge of $200, again, one of each, and give one to your spouse. Give one to a friend. Give one to your parent. Give one to each of your parents, for that matter. You can decide which book you would like, the original book or the special book just for women. Just give us a call at 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org and select Younger Next Year or Younger Next Year for Women at the $100 level. It's our gift to you for showing your support for WOSU. 1-866-897-9678. What is it about? What do you tell people in the book? It's a lot of fun to read, for one thing. It does kind of get you psyched up. Chris has a lot to do with that, too.
Well, Chris does because he's, he's an incredibly funny writer.
Mm-hmm.
And B, he's just an average older guy who's doing all this stuff and groaning and grumbling at the appropriate points, but also pointing out how much fun he's having as the end result. And the story really, it's become fascinating over the last decade. So about 10 years ago, researchers in California began playing with the genetics of worms. And it doesn't sound very exciting to play around with worms, but in fact, they extended the lifespan of these worms tenfold. And so that's the equivalent of getting a human being to live to 500. And not only did they extend life, so the question was, well, you know, do you get old on a normal pace and then live old for another 400 years? The answer was no, the worms stayed young all the way through, resistant to disease, very mobile, et cetera. And then other researchers around the country expanded that and found that in all sorts of species, including mammal species, mice and rats, you could come close to doubling lifespan with some fairly simple genetic tinkering, and the genes that control all that are present in humans as well. And more importantly was that the quality of life stayed very high throughout. So it became apparent that what we call aging is in fact a biological choice that our bodies are making. And what came out of this was that the way to reverse this isn't by coming up with a new drug. There's very little hope of that. These genes respond very directly to a few cardinal things in terms of how you live your life. And those things are, number one, exercise. As you move, you turn on or off the genes that control your aging. Number two is getting ridiculously overweight. And number three, interestingly enough, is the emotional context of your life. So the point of the book is the biology of exercise, emotion, and then nutrition coming in as a somewhat distant third, surprisingly enough. And if you do those big two right, if you get the exercise equation and the emotional engagement equation right, in sociologic studies, you cut your risk of heart disease in half, you cut your risk of Alzheimer's in half, 90% of arthritis basically goes away. All sorts of wonderful things begin happening inside your body, and that's why you can live as somebody who is 20 or 30 years younger. Really from any age on forward, aging unfortunately starts in your 30s, but 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, you can turn the clock back by an enormous amount.
You know, way back in 2004, you and Chris Crowley were preaching the gospel of spend less than you make. It's become sort of a mantra these days in the economy the way it is. What does that have to do with being younger next year?
Yeah, weren't we
It's a great idea. Yeah, you were right on.
We've been in charge.
Yes.
Well, two things. First of all, it gets back to that sort of unexpected longevity where Americans are living far longer than they planned for. The average American who hits retirement in okay shape, not great shape, but okay shape, will live deep into their 80s. And so part of it is just don't run out of money. But the other one is speaking to the role of stress in our lives. And Americans have put themselves under enormous financial stress. And obviously a ton of us are paying a steep price for that now. As we dig out from this, it's incredibly important to reset that whole framework so that the stress of keeping up with the American pace of consumption isn't running you down emotionally and isn't making you age prematurely. And so spend less than you make was both a kind of a realistic nod to the fact that you're probably going to live for a while and a strong plea to say, hey, let's not create enormous stress that's going to chew away at our bodies and our brains, because clearly the chemistry of stress now damages not only your physical health, but also your mental health, and dramatically increases your odds of stroke and Alzheimer's and so forth.
The idleness, the way it sends a decay message.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy sounding, but it's what I think of when I'm out there working out at 5:45 in the morning. It works for me.
it does. It turns out that the reason you can turn back the clock on aging is that the vast majority of American aging isn't really biological aging. It's just dry rot. It's the decay that we accept by the crazy way we've set up American society. So in a curious paradox, when you don't move, when you're not exercising, it's a very powerful signal to your body that it's a famine and you're starving to death. Because remember that we evolved out on the savannah where there was no refrigeration, and if you wanted to eat, you had to go run down an antelope or something. And so the daily exercise is the signal to your body that, in fact, there's food out there to be gotten and that you're out there hunting and foraging and so forth. And when you don't do that, your body, even though we're deep in the 21st century, your body reads that as a sign of imminent famine and peril. And so when you sit still, your body is literally choosing to decay. It muscles and joints and bones are melting like an ice cream cone in the sun because you're telling them that that's the survival strategy. And so instead of thinking of aging as something that happens to you, you begin to think that you are choosing to decay by the way you're living your life. And this is really so incredibly firmly locked into our hands is the other major point. It's as if you're driving a train and your hands are glued to the steering wheel. You can choose to go on the left track or the right track. You never get to take your hands off the steering wheel. So you're choosing by what you do today and tomorrow and the next day, whether to get old as fast as possible, which is decaying, or whether to stay young and healthy and fit and vigorous. And that's a critical message of the book, is that you can't walk away from that choice. You can't put that on somebody else. You're choosing youth or age, and essentially health or disease, to a large extent by the way you live each day.
It is your responsibility to take care of your own body, basically, and you can. You have control over that. It's also, as a listener and supporter of public media, it's your responsibility to take care of public media. Take care of it. That's what it's for. It's for the public, and it's sponsored. You are the backbone of the budget at WOSU 820. Younger Next Year or Younger Next Year for Women is our thank you gift this hour at the $100 pledge level. Get this book for yourself or as a gift for someone in your life who needs to turn back their biological clock. It's also a great affirmation book for people who are already doing it. 1-866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. Call or go online and to make your pledge right now at the $100 pledge level. Younger Next Year is yours as our gift. Younger Next Year for Women, also yours as our gift at the $100 pledge level, either or at the $200 pledge level, get one of each. Younger Next Year is a New York Times bestseller and our thank you gift that we are offering to you right now at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. $2,600 to go. And our thanks to Carol in Plain City, John and Katie in Powell, and Danine in Columbus. Thank you for your support for public media. It's a lot of fun to talk to Dr. Lodge like this. It's very interesting, and some of his phrases, like dry rot, you think it applies to your back patio, but really it doesn't. It applies to your body, and it's what I think of, or no, it's the decay is what I think of when I'm out running or exercising. What about Dr. Lodge winter exercise? A lot of people just hole up around here in the winter, and they complain about it. I think walking through the snow helps me burn a lot more calories than just walking along a flat, dry sidewalk.
You know, it's fine to stop exercising in the winter if you don't mind being 5 years older in the spring.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
The nice thing is that if you pick up exercising in the spring, you can knock 4 years back off of that. But not quite five. It's a very, very interesting equation. And so it really does get down to the first fundamental recommendation of the book is exercise. And exercise harder than you thought, and more often than you thought, and you know, to an extent, that scares the horses in America, because we've gotten used to this society where we say if you park three rows further from the mall and walk in, you've done a hell of a job, and the answer is, of course, it's a little better than sitting on the couch, but not much. So if you want to reclaim your body, and if you want this to work, there's a little bit of good old-fashioned, stiff, hard work involved, but only a little bit. The sweet spot for most people where you get the absolute ideal maximum benefit is to exercise an hour a day, 6 days a week. You get progressive benefit as you head up to there, but you're leaving an awful lot of health and youth on the table. And so people often say, oh, my God, an hour a day, 6 days a week. There's no time for that. And the short answer is that that's about 5% of your waking hours. And if you think about the 6 hours that you waste productively every week watching dumb TV or surfing the internet, et cetera, there's more than enough time to save your life and change the equation. And the other fascinating thing that's come out really in the last 5 years is not only does an hour of exercise grow new muscle and new bone and new joints and reduce your risk of heart attack and stroke and so forth, but it also grows new brain. And that's this fascinating evolving story that the cognitive decline of aging is largely optional as well. And when you do MRI studies of people who exercise, you find that over the course of 3 months, they grow substantial amounts of new brain in the frontal cortex, which is the part of your brain that's involved in decision making, in complex thought processes, in social interactions. So to an extraordinary extent, you're choosing to let your brain rot or grow as well as your body by the way you live your life. And the first enormous master key is to get real exercise most days of your life. And if you do that, the landscape changes dramatically. And if you don't, then it's fine. Just be prepared to get old like an American.
Our goal this hour was $3,000. We have $2,400 left to go before noon. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. As a thank you for your pledge of support at the $100 level, we will send you a copy of Dr. Lodge's Younger Next Year or Younger Next Year for Women. That is with a membership to WOSU at the $100 level when you pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678. You can also go online to our secure server at WOSU.org. That phone number one more time, 1-866-897-9678. Do yourself a favor and pick up whichever book works for you, Younger Next Year or Younger Next Year for Women. It'll teach you how to turn back your biological clock, live strong, fit, and sexy until you're 80 and beyond. In other words, if you're going to live a long time, why not live it to the best possible way, healthy and younger, just by following the steps in this book, Younger Next Year or Younger Next Year for Women, at the $100 pledge level to WOSU.org. Or call 1-866-897-9678. You know, we call it a membership drive for a reason. It's because, if you sign on, you're a member, and it feels good to be a member of this club. We have a new member. And also, when you call in to make your pledge, you can leave comments, and we really do read them. I read the criticisms as well as the compliments. Right now, we have a comment from Michael in Columbus. Michael says, longtime listener, first time donor. I rely on NPR to keep me informed in an unbiased manner. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Michael. You can become a new member. I'm new to WOSU. All Sides with Ann Fisher is new to WOSU. You can be new, too. Join me as a new member of WOSU. $2,400 to go still before noon. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. One thing you can do at WOSU is you can download these programs as podcasts, and you can put them in your iPod, and you can walk around, or you can run, or you can do whatever, and you can stay active while you're listening to it. That's one of the things we offer at WOSU to make your life better. Dr. Lodge, what about dehydration in cold weather? Is that something people need to worry about right now?
If you're exercising outdoors, then you actually dehydrate about as fast in cold weather as hot weather, because you're taking all that cold air and fully hydrating it as you breathe. So you don't sweat the fluids out. You actually breathe them out. So, yes, if you're out there skiing or cross-country skiing or snowshoeing or going for a long walk in the cold weather, it's just the same basically in terms of the hydration as going for a walk on a hot summer day.
You know, so many people follow you now on your blogs and through the books, and I'm sure you still get lots of mail from people who have been following it over the years. Has anything changed about your philosophy, or has anything been fine-tuned and different, or are you just validated every day?
Well, you know, we get extraordinary letters from people telling us that it's changed their lives and really in remarkably powerful ways. And what comes through clearly is that while exercise is the first great pillar, the other great pillar that we do talk about in the book a lot is the emotional infrastructure. And the science behind that has just skyrocketed even since the book was published. And so the biological importance of being part of your community has taken on a whole new dimension. It turns out that when you are actively engaged with other people, you literally change the chemistry throughout both your body and your brain. And so, for instance, when you do studies in the ICU of touch, when a neonate is touched by an ICU nurse, the neonate's blood pressure and pulse rate drop. But the nurse's blood pressure and pulse rate drop also. And a lot of studies have actually shown that giving is even biologically more healthy than receiving. A lot of studies, both in humans and in other species, have shown that there is a biology of altruism, and that doing things for your community, being involved with it, for instance, you know, I mean, joining OSU, which is a great example. Mm-hmm. Stepping up and being part of this is actually biologically good for you. So you know, becoming a member will make you a little bit younger and healthier. And there's a very clear chemistry to it. And it turns out that everybody is now becoming very familiar with the stress chemistry, with cortisol and adrenaline and all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Well, the direct antidote to stress chemistry is this chemistry of being involved, being engaged, being part of your tribe, your pack, et cetera. And so that part of it, I think, has become even stronger since we published the book. And the thing that really wasn't known to any significant extent when we came out with the book was also how powerful this is at changing the cognitive functions of your brain. At how extraordinary both exercise and social engagement are at keeping you smart and sharp and functioning at a very high level cognitively as you get old. And, of course, the thing we fear more than anything as we get older is Alzheimer's, et cetera. It turns out that's largely an optional biology. Now, with all of these, there's the bad luck equation. So you can do everything right and still have it work out badly, but that's actually unusual. And so the risk of Alzheimer's just tumbles with social engagement and with being part of a community, with giving back, with really truly being actively involved. So that's the thing that I think has kind of taken on even broader dimensions than we thought when we wrote the book.
And, you know, people who listen to public media tend to do a lot of other things to engage in the community. I love it when they give us calls. I love it when they email us. In fact, you can talk to Dr. Lodge. I don't think I've mentioned it. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. But they seem to go hand in hand. Folks who participate in public media, who are listeners, like to help out in other parts of their community. So this seems like both of these books, Younger Next Year for Women and younger next year are sort of custom made for public media listeners. If you would like to check them out, they are a gift to you at the $100 pledge level. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org. This is listener-supported WOSU 820 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining us this hour, Dr. Henry Lodge, the co-author of Younger Next Year or Younger Next Year for Women. Again, they are our thank you gifts. Each get two for $200. You can buy one of, get one of each. Our thank you gifts to you for this hour of the Winter Membership Drive. Call 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $100. You can decide which book you would like, the original or the special book just for women. We have $2,100 to go out of a $3,000 goal. Thank you so much to everybody for all of your support. We have about 30 minutes left, so give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. Dr. Lodge, what's the difference between Younger Next Year and Younger Next Year for Women?
The basic principles biologically actually are remarkably similar. So most of this isn't sex specific. There are some biological issues in terms of women have to face osteoporosis and loss of muscle mass more than men. On the other hand, they live longer. But there are enormous cultural differences that play into this. So it turns out that women in general do a far better job of aging than men do. Women are far less afraid of change. They embrace new situations. They make them work. They create new friendships, et cetera. And men kind of sulk and whine and go sit in the corner and rot.
I didn't say it.
So it was very interesting when we were writing the second book for women, the reason we did was that basically we thought the first book covered the waterfront. But, of course, it was written by two guys. And we got a lot of women who said, I loved it. I understood it. It wasn't, you know, I had any trouble with that. But I felt like I was reading over a guy's shoulder, and I had the following issues that really you didn't address. And the biological part was the minor part. It was more like, hey, our experience of aging, although we understand what you're saying and it applies, ours is different. We have different challenges. So for women, the challenge is that you live so long that all the natural social networks that you build up are a little bit at risk as you get older, and that therefore there's a reinvestment that needs to occur, and this enormous risk of becoming just physically incapable of living the life you want. And so if you go to any nursing home in America, first of all, it's 90% women, because the men have all died by then. And secondly, it's evenly split between people who got demented and people who simply got weak. And so that's the extreme example, but it is really true that getting weak will rob you of the ability to live your life as you get older. And the investment in that starts really in your 40s and 50s. You can catch up remarkably effectively in your 60s and 70s, but it's tougher. So the challenges are different. And then for men, the challenge is, look, you know, if it turns out that we're sort of dopes about social networking and that when we retire, we kind of go inside and just stay there in some inner cave for the duration, that's a crazy model of doing it too. And so we need to figure out how to get out there and how to reengage and how to be part of the great flow of things in a way that is different than our work years. So there are big cultural challenges that are somewhat different for men and women. And the cultural stuff to me is fascinating because it turns out if you understood biologically how we're built, both physically and mentally, or more accurately, now that we understand how we're built, and you set out to design a society that maximized that, it wouldn't look very much like modern American living. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. If you knew the design specs for human beings and you set out to build a culture, it just wouldn't look a whole lot like this. Now, we're not going to make massive social change on any quick time frame, but it turns out that individually you can rework your life very powerfully, very quickly to take full advantage of your biology. And if you do that, it's remarkable how good things look. So there are happiness surveys that have been done around the world, and more than 2 million people have been surveyed over, I think, 40 countries or something. It turns out that life satisfaction, on average, reaches its low point somewhere in your 40s and goes back up from there. And so 50s, 60s, 70s, life satisfaction, happiness, et cetera, are steadily increasing. And in fact, half of all Americans over 65 say that these are the best years of their life. And a quarter of all Americans over 80 say that their 80s are the best years of their life. And of course, those are predominantly the people who are still out there able to live their own lives because they're functional and socially engaged and have a structure to work with. So all those sorts of data come together to give us just a very clear mandate for how we each ought to be doing it.
You're listening to Dr. Henry Lodge, Columbia University Associate Professor of Medicine and co-author of Younger Next Year and Younger Next Year for Women. Dr. Lodge specializes in internal medicine and gerontology, the science of aging. He puts it all together in this book with Chris Crowley. It is our gift to you at the $100 pledge level, Younger Next Year or Younger Next Year for Women. The Washington Post says this book will change your life if you are up for it. Learn how to live strong, fit, and sexy until you're 80 and beyond. Go to WOSU.org and select Younger Next Year or Younger Next Year for Women at $100 or call 1-866-897-9678. Either of these books are meant for public media listeners. We have $1,800 to go. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. $1,800 and 18 minutes to go, I think, now. 1-866-897-9678. We have an email from Susan. If you would like to email us, go to allsides@wosu.org. Susan writes, I read this book and then recommended it to my friends. I feel more energetic at 70 than I have for years. I can do more with my day after an hour of exercise than I can do without that hour. I'm sure my doctor will be pleased at my next checkup, too. Boy, you must get a lot of that kind of mail.
We do, and I think, A, her doctor is going to be delighted. Mm-hmm. B, it is this very interesting thing that there have been a lot of time and motion productivity studies. If you spend an hour exercising, you regain about 2 or 3 hours of effective time over the course of your day. So if people say, look, I have a very stressful job, or I'm a single mother, or I'm the president of the United States, it turns out that if you carve out the time for exercise, you'll pay yourself back 2 or 3 times over in terms of the energy and enthusiasm and productivity you get for the rest of the day. And so we just don't buy the I can't find time to exercise, partly because the option is then you're going to get old mm-hmm. and rot, and partly because you get so much back on an immediate basis for it. So we do get that all the time. And if you exercise, you simply find that you pay yourself back in spades, and very quickly. I mean, the changes happen right away. And the other thing I think is very interesting is we all have this little barrier to getting anything going. It's the inertia of getting started. So the clear message of the book is jump right in. You know, if you buy the book and read it, one of the things it says is go to the gym today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Just go today, even if you don't have the right stuff, et cetera. If you can't make it to a gym, go for a walk today and join the gym tomorrow. Same thing is true, actually, with pledging to NPR. I mean, if we all intend to, and we listen to the shows, and there's a little just activation energy that's lacking to pick up the phone and call the number. That tendency in humans to just simply put it off a little bit keeps you from doing all kinds of wonderful stuff in your life. And it's a great idea to fight back against it and jump right in with both feet. And the other thing we say in terms of the social stuff is learn to be the organizer. Learn to be the man or woman who sets things up and calls their friends and says, you know, hey, there's a baking competition at the firehouse, or there's a charity 10K, or there's a this or that. Let's all do it. Everybody wants someone to take on that role. Everybody will thank you for it. Everybody's going to be delighted that you made the call. And we never think about it. So we have two things in the book we say. One is default to yes. Anytime anybody calls you up and says, let's do something, say yes. And the other one is be the organizer. Take on that role. Just take the plunge, do stuff, set it up for your friends. And pretty soon you'll find that it takes on a life of its own and the momentum builds.
You know, it's kind of about getting unstuck. And we are stuck at $1,800 to go. So get unstuck and become a new member. Renew your membership. And show your support for WOSU. Go to WOSU.org and make your pledge online or call us at 1-866-897-9678. We have all of our volunteers are standing by to take your pledge. They are very unstuck people, and I just want to make sure I say thank you to them for all of their help. It means a lot to us. 1-866-897-9678. It's easy to get unstuck right now. And also, it's kind of like two birds with one stone. You get unstuck by joining WOSU, and you also get unstuck at the $100 level because our gift to you at the $100 pledge level is Younger Next Year or Younger Next Year for Women. So get unstuck right now. Limber up that finger. And push the buttons. 1-866-897-9678. Show your support for public radio. Show your support for WOSU 820. Show your support for All Sides with Dan Fisher. If you would like to speak to Dr. Lodge, give us a call at 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Doug, you're on the air. You want to talk about arthritis?
Thank you for taking my call. This is so very, very interesting talking to the or listening to the doctor. I'm a very active man. I'm 70 years old. I swim one to 2 miles a day, and I bike a lot when the weather permits. But I have severe arthritis in both ankles, and it's just really getting me down. I used to be an avid walker. I'd walk 3-4 miles a day, but now all that stuff is gone. I can still swim, but I can't do any walks anymore. I think I can still bike. Of course, not in this weather, but I'd like to know what doctor would recommend. I've taken a lot of stuff, Osteobiflex, Move Free, all that kind of stuff, and it doesn't seem to help. So I would really appreciate his input on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
There's two very different things, and we call them both arthritis. One of them is an erosive arthritis. Where you really are just wearing out the cartilage in the bone, and it hurts, and you have to work around it. And the other one is that the lack of enough strength training will produce a decay in the joint tissues. And most people who have arthritis down in the ankles and feet and the hands have a combination of both. Knees, hips, and shoulders, and often elbows, surprisingly, are mostly the not enough strength training arthritis. So those you have a very strong shot of curing. Ankles you're probably not going to cure, but if you do strength training for specifically the calf muscles, both the ones that raise you up and the ones that on the front of the calf, and strength training for the thighs and the quadriceps and the hamstrings, you probably will achieve a significant improvement in the symptoms. Probably not going away, but much better.
Wow.
Then you want to have a good podiatrist work with you to see if there's anything about the way you walk, do you need orthotics, et cetera. And then finally, you talk to your doctor about this, but if you find that you have a pain syndrome that is keeping you from exercising, usually you do best to go ahead and use some medication like Tylenol or Advil or something like that. Before your workouts to let you go ahead and do it. Now, that's a bit of a double-edged sword. You know, we sort of, in general, like to shy away from medication.
Right.
But if you said, look, you know, the only way I can do it is if you know, 3 days a week I take a couple of Advil and then I can go do X, Y, or Z. I don't need it when I swim, et cetera. Then that's a really actually good bargain for most people overall. But I think if you try the strength training component over the course of, say, 3 months, you ought to find that it is markedly better, although probably not cured.
Well, thank you for the advice. You hit the first one right. I have no cartilage left in my ankles.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest problem. No cartilage at all.
Yeah.
And I'm taking two Celebrex, one in the morning, one in the evening. Some days my pain is so bad I can't really do anything. Other days it's not so bad. And I keep thinking, well, this osteobiflex is growing cartilage, but that's not right.
Yeah, probably not. But I will say, you know, it's, I mean, so yours is very different than most people who call with, quote, arthritis, unquote, because you have, you know, kind of a a condition part of which we can't fix. And it is true that just, you know, the pain medications for that can make a big difference. Some people find that acupuncture actually helps a lot also.
Really?
Now, the reason that strength training helps so much is kind of interesting. Everybody loses the elastic tissue in their joints and their tendons and their ligaments as they get older. There's an actual molecule called elastin, which is sort of rubber-like, and that gets replaced bit by bit, year on year, and so you end up with stiff joints. So you look at you know, these kids in the Olympics who are, you know, skiing moguls and jumping these high things, and they're landing on rubber knees, which you and I no longer have.
I have
no rubber left.
No.
However, what we do have is we have enormously large muscles, and every muscle fiber stretches a little bit when you load it. So you do have enormous reserve elasticity in your muscles if you strengthen them up.
I see.
And so you effectively, by getting, you know, by getting the right kind of strength training, you're creating a newly elastic component to that joint, which is why it's likely to help quite a lot.
Well, that's interesting to know. Tell me what you think about the doctors that say they can put cartilage back into your ankle and you will grow cartilage on your own. Is there any truth to that, sir?
The orthopedists have been in love with the thought that they could grow new cartilage ever since I graduated from medical school 25 years ago. And you know, they've yet to succeed in any demonstrable way.
Oh, boy.
So I think it's a great idea. I've never seen anybody actually make it work in a real study.
Thanks, Doug, for your call.
Thank you so much.
I hope
very
you feel
much.
Better.
You have been very helpful. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening.
Good luck, Doug.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
And you know, there's a very important message in that, which is as you get older, you know, things are going to break. I mean, you're going to run into challenges where you're exercising and everything's good, and then you fall down and your shoulder goes or your knee goes or whatever. And what's critically important is to work around that, to not miss a beat with the exercise, because when you do any kind of exercise, there's a healing chemistry throughout your body. So if your shoulder hurts and you walk on the treadmill, your shoulder will feel better. I mean, the chemistry flows through your blood, and it changes joints all over your body. And if you think about it, all physical therapy really is somebody making you exercise in the right way. And so people run into challenges recurrently with this. Human beings fall off track every 3 months no matter what. So you gotta guard against that. But B, real things are going to happen in your life and knock you sideways a little bit with your exercise program or your social engagement program, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And what's critical is just to have the guiding principle of getting back on track as quickly as possible. So I do think people like Doug, you know, A, he's done himself a huge favor by sticking with it despite the fact that it hurts, mm-hmm. and swimming and cycling. B, if he works at it, there's probably improvement to be gotten. And that's a very important message, is that the fact that sometimes it's hard doesn't matter. It's still get old or stay young.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. We are down to just under 12 minutes left in the hour, and we're down to $1,000 to go in our pledge drive this hour.
Oh, great.
I know. Great. Two-thirds of the way. Thank you so much to everybody who has supported us this hour, including John in Grove City, Judith in Worthington, and James in Columbus. Thank you so much. Every little bit makes a difference. Doug just got a wonderful free consultation with Dr. Lodge. He's my guest today, Dr. Henry Lodge, co-author of Younger Next Year and Younger Next Year for Women. He is Columbia University Associate Professor of Medicine. His specialty, internal medicine and gerontology. So he knows what he's talking about. That's the kind of people you get on the WOSU. That's the kind of folks we try to bring to you every day on All Sides with Ann Fisher. Show your support for these kinds of programs with a pledge at the $100 level. At that level, we have a thank you gift for you. It will be the Younger Next Year or Younger Next Year for Women. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org. We have $900 to go, thanks to Janet in Columbus, Francis in Columbus, and Ian in Worthington, Frederick in Blacklick, and Elizabeth and Guy in Galena. Thank you so much. $900 to go, and just about 10 minutes to go. We can do it. We can meet this goal. It's a big goal, no question about it. Your support is big, too. It's the backbone of our operation. You know, we were just talking about you know, how to support that ankle when the cartilage goes. You do that with the muscles around it. And the muscles all the way up the leg. That's kind of the way it is here. We, our support goes way out. It's not right here in the studio with me. It's out there among you listeners and everybody who becomes a member of WOSU. Go to WOSU.org to make that pledge online or give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. $900 to go. So give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. If you'd like to speak to Dr. Lodge, we still have time, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. With a pledge of support at the $100 level during our winter membership drive, our thank you gift to you will be the book Younger Next Year by Dr. Henry Lodge and Chris Crowley, or you can pick up Younger Next Year for Women also at the $100 level, or at the $200 level, get one of each. It would make a fantastic gift. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. You know, Dr. Lodge, when you were talking about getting weight training for, I think his name is Doug, you probably want to go to a professional at the outset to show you exactly what you need to do, what machines will help, and what exercises will help.
Yeah, and you know, the overwhelming majority of gyms both have good personal trainers there and have set up what are called circuit training regimens, where there's a series of machines just all in a row, and they can show you in one or two visits very, very clearly. Mm-hmm. You know, what numbers to use. The seats have numbers, the weights have numbers. And so it isn't terrifying or mystifying. There's a lot of reluctance to jump in because the stuff looks so weird and feels so intimidating. But actually, it's very easy. And they can show you in a heartbeat how to do something that's really good and safe for you. And then you just stick with it. And so that's actually very cost-effective. You can then hire a trainer to work with you on an ongoing basis, which if you have the resources is the optimal. But if you don't, that really doesn't stop you because the circuit training stuff is so easy for everybody to do and produces really great results.
We have a call now. If you would like to speak to Dr. Lodge, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Bill, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to know. This concerns Alzheimer's patients.
Yep.
I was wondering if there is a school of thought which promotes helping Alzheimer's patients exercise instead of just allowing them, or instead of just keeping them comfortable as they get weaker and then just eventually die.
Oh, not only is there a school of thought, there's actually a large body of research that it's the ideal strategy. So, in fact, the medications for Alzheimer's have been, in my mind, very disappointing. But what clearly works are two things. One is a structured environment with a lot of predictability and a lot of kind of clear limit setting. And the other one is that daily exercise helps enormously with whatever reserve cognitive function the person has left. It's the same thing, actually, with depression, where exercise has been shown to be as effective as Prozac and Zoloft and therapy in treating depression. It is, of course, quite hard to get somebody who's depressed to exercise, and it's quite hard to get somebody with Alzheimer's to exercise, but it's by no means impossible. And the more enlightened Alzheimer's facilities are beginning to recognize that this is an enormously important strategy. And people in the earlier stage of Alzheimer's who are at home benefit a ton from exercise. My suggestion always is to make it a very clear part of the day's routine so that you get up, you have breakfast at the same time, you go to the gym at the same time, you basically do, you know, kind of the same stuff, which usually it's easiest if it's something like a stationary bike, et cetera, because you don't have to worry so much about falls, et cetera. But it's an incredibly important component of making the Alzheimer's journey as good as it can be. Which obviously it's a heartbreaking journey no matter what, but you can do it well or you can do it less well. And so social structure and exercise are critical components.
Yes. Where would I get some kind of information to convince professionals who are resistant to such a school of thought?
there's a book called the I think it's called the 36 Hour Day, okay. which was put out by Johns Hopkins Press a while ago, which is very good about Alzheimer's in general. and then I think if you Google Alzheimer's exercise, I mean there are a number of studies out there showing this. So
okay.
it isn't by any stretch, you know, controversial information. It's just, you know, it's resource intensive and it's a pain,
mm-hmm.
and therefore it tends not to happen. So this is true of physical function. By the way, they did a study in a nursing home years ago where they went in and put people on a 6-day-a-week exercise program, and within 3 months everybody had moved up one full functional level. So the people who were bedbound were walking. People who had been on walkers had given them up. And it was this dramatic improvement. People had doubled their leg strength in 3 months of training, et cetera. And so they showed that you can actually take people in a nursing home and bring them up one or two full functional levels very easily. Then the study ended. The researchers left. The staff put the people back to bed. And 3 months later, they're all back where they'd started. So, you know, you have to keep doing it. But the problem is that, you know, our system doesn't encourage or compensate for this kind of stuff, and therefore it's not happening.
Thanks to Bill for that question. It was a good one. Again, the name of that book is 36 Hour Day from Johns Hopkins Press. I want to thank all the volunteers, some of whom are from the Blackwell Inn and Conference Center. Thanks so much for joining us today and helping us out with this membership drive. We have $800 to go in about 3.5 minutes. Give us a call at 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org and make that pledge through our secure server on WOSU.org. With a membership pledge of $100, our gift to you, Dr. Henry Lodge's Younger Next Year or Younger Next Year for Women. We started out our goal at $3,000. We have $700 to go. Thanks so much to Christine in Columbus and Doug in Grove City. We appreciate your support. A little while ago, we were talking about getting unstuck, and these books work for public radio supporters on so many levels because you tend to be unstuck people. You tend to be involved in your community. You tend to be active. You tend to care about the world around you. Dr. Lodge is telling us that even just caring and being involved matters. It helps you physically. Live a better life, live a happier life, live a healthier life, no matter how long your life is. The same thing. Get involved with your public radio station right now. Go to WOSU.org and make your pledge online, or you can call 1-866-897-9678. We are your local public radio station. We cater our programming to your wants and needs. This program, All Sides with Ann Fisher, we're always working hard. We always consider it, you know, I try to think of myself as a listener too, and what would I want to listen to, and what do you want to listen to, and who are the best people we can get on the show to help you understand the world around you and help you make your life a little bit better. Dr. Henry Lodge, author of Younger Next Year, is just one great example of what we try to do. We have $700 to go. 2 minutes to go. 1-866-897-9678. $700 and 2 minutes to go. 1-866-897-9678. Or go to WOSU.org. The number again, 1-866-897-9678. Pick up whichever book works for you, Younger Next Year or Younger Next Year for Women by Dr. Henry Lodge, Columbia University Associate Professor of Medicine. Thanks so much for being with us today, Dr. Lodge. I didn't get to half my questions as usual. I guess maybe you can come back again sometime.
It was a great pleasure. I'd be happy to come back anytime.
Thank you very much. We have 1 minute left, $600 to go, 1-866-897-9678. You've been listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. 1-866-897-9678. Our gift to you for at the $100 pledge level is Younger Next Year for Women or Younger Next Year. I was told earlier it's pretty much split 50-50 between Younger Next Year and Younger Next Year for Women. It's kind of interesting. It's usually more for women, I think. So it's nice to see more of the Younger Next Years going. We have $600 to go and not enough time. So give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. It'll count for the next 50 or 60 seconds. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820, NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's news and entertainment weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com. This is WOSU, NPR News and Classical Music.